Now, let's shift focus then. You're on Rise FM in 60 Minutes. Great pleasure to have you with us this evening. The Demarcation Board has initiated a consultation process to reevaluate the future of Umjindi Local Municipality. This move comes after the Department of Cooperative Governance, Human Settlement and Traditional Affairs, COGSTA, submitted an application to re-establish the municipality, which was merged with Mbombela Local Municipality in 2016 to form the city of Mbombela Local Municipality. The board, that's the demarcation board, was led by their chair, Thabo Manyoni. He briefed Premier Mandla Ndlovu and the MEC of the Department of COGSTA, Speed Mashilo, and a few executive mayors who were present in that particular engagement, and municipal managers on the consultation process. Now, the anticipation is that this process of consultation, largely consulting the community, will start now in March, and it aims to conclude its business by September of this year, 2025. And among the many other utterances Premier Mandla Ndlovu raised there is obviously the importance of accepting whatever decision will come as a result of the outcomes of the consultations. Now, let's try and understand from a ground level, you know, what becomes the immediate reaction of those who have, one, suffered, and those who are representing persons and people, residents, who suffered in the process. I'm joining now on the line to speak more on this is the Democratic Alliance City of Mbombela Caucus Chairperson, Philip Minar, joins me now in conversation. Philip, really appreciate you making time. What then becomes the immediate reaction of the Democratic Alliance of this consultation process? It starts now in March, concludes its business by September.
Thank you, Musa. Yes, well, from the Democratic Alliance side, we are very in support with the process that is ongoing at the present moment. And yes, it's important that the Demarcation Board should consult with all the various groupings, organizations, and structures. And yes, although we are very in support of Umjindi coming back and being a municipality on its own again, what is very important for us at this stage is to make sure that we take the emotions out of this whole process, that we're looking forward to the consultations with the community that will still have to take place during this year, and that all this information that they gather, including the technical studies that they have done, that will, everything will be presented to us and assist us to make an informed decision on this whole process.
Yeah, when it comes to issues of service delivery, how much of an impact has this merger had, particularly on issues of service delivery?
Yes, the major shortcomings of this whole merger was basically service delivery. That we can break up into basically two parts. Number one was maintenance of existing infrastructure that we have. Number two, we are growing. The town is growing every day, and there was no proper planning. There were no implementation of proper services. If we're looking at provision of water, water is a big problem in Umjindi, and no provision were made to expand the existing infrastructure to such an extent that we have water, raw water available, but we can't purify enough water to at least just meet the basic daily demand. Then obviously, if we're looking at the road conditions, the road infrastructure, potholes, if we're looking at our electricity network, electricity were badly neglected. Our infrastructure can't handle the load that we have presently. It needs to be upgraded. It's a similar situation from on Eskom side as well. So from Eskom side and from the municipality side, electricity need serious attention. So yes, on the basic things, all these things were seriously neglected and nothing's been done. And we need that to be sorted out and put in place.
Yeah. Philip, there's two school of thought here. There are those that are pro, obviously, the divorce of the measure. And then there are those who say, whether we divorce from the measure or we don't, the municipality's residents are not paying enough in terms of service levies, then the municipality would still be fined, or rather be found in a situation where they are unable to service, you know, the larger population now of the community of Umchindi. What do you make of those two arguments? To say, as things stands now, there's a lot of people who are not paying for their rates and taxes. As a result, then the municipality, if it were to stand alone as Umchindi local municipality, they will still be faced with these very same problems of not having enough money to then, deliver adequate services in spite of the grants that they do get from national government.
Yeah, we need to look at the solution as follows, and that is what we presented to the Demarcation Board. And we said to the Demarcation Board, look, we must understand now that we're looking at least 10 years of total service delivery neglect. Now, to correct that whole situation, it's not just going to be that easy to say, okay, Umchindi, there you are, you're back on your own again. Because remember, then we start with nothing. We're starting with a few buildings. And that's it. We don't have staff. We don't have vehicles. We don't have equipment, materials. We've got nothing. We need to start from scratch all over again. So you're sitting with two things. Are the people going to pay their rates and taxes? And I must say, Umchindi are paying fairly well their rates and taxes. But even though that may be the case, it's going to cost millions to put back Umchindi independently to where they where they was, and to say, okay, now you operate on your own again. To achieve that, we need a serious commitment from the national government to say, but yes, we will support you with additional funding. We're not talking about the normal grants that each municipality get and funding that they get to do the day-to-day running and that kind of things. We're talking here about serious financial input to make sure that this will work. Because you can put Umchindi back on its own feet, but without any support, you actually setting them up as a failure. And that needs to be addressed. And we need that guarantees that when we go back, we will be in a position not to fail, but to succeed. So that leaves us, put us in another situation to say, okay, but now, let's look at what's the possibilities should we continue under Mbombela. Now, if you go into that direction again, then you will have to look at a different governance model so that we can't continue on the model that they're using at the moment. There's one budget, but nobody knows what is budgeted for Umchindi for roads or anything. There's no proper planning, there's no proper consultation with the various areas. You will even have to go as far as to go and look how other cities like Cape Town are governing their areas, you know, if you're looking at sub-councils and that kind of things. That might be a solution which might work better. We don't know. But the studies will assist us quite a lot in that.
Yeah. Philip, as always, really appreciate you weighing in and there and just, helping us make sense of all the ground conversations there.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Philip Menard is with the Democratic Alliance. He's the caucus chairperson there in the city of Mbombela. There you have it with Philip Menard there. Let's take this breather. Coming up, I speak to Ayanda Makakula. He represents young people in the conversation of this demarcation board conversation.
Where the facts and opinions build the discourse. Raza FM in 60 Minutes with Musa Skhosana.
Ayanda joins us now in conversation. Ayanda Makakula, he represents a large cohort of young people, largely those who are seeking employment, but he's also into the skills development sector, training and capacitating young people when it comes to issues of skills. Ayanda, I really appreciate you making time. Maybe your immediate reaction of this intention and this consultation process that starts, let me say next week, because March is this coming Saturday.
Thanks, Musa, and greetings to listeners of Rise FM. Yeah, no, it becomes a very complicated and emotional reminder that after so many years, we are still asking the same question, whether Umchindi should be returned after Umchindi was taken out of the community without the proper consultation. So this postponement and back-to-back processes, reactivation, are not helping us. Instead, they are a pain that always comes back and a reminder. Our worry is that these things, they always be activated whenever there are political activities where people should be elected, where political leaders should be ascending to new offices. So we think this is just an exercise, and our request is that institutions such as MDPA should be independent. We understand that they've presented the matter before the premier, but it's not the first time this matter was also presented to the previous premier. So what we need is the MDPA to be independent and take a decision, because there's no legislation that states how long should it take. It's only a matter of them taking a decision whether they want to drive it in the pace in which that they are driving. In the previous window, there has been even campaigns by some of the leaders within government, or even going privately to say people should not allow this. Remember, this decision was made solely to protect some other political parties to remain in power. So as it remains so, we don't know what is it now that they are planning to do, because initially, if that was a matter based on real due diligence, that decision couldn't have went through, if maybe I can put it. But now we are dealing with a situation that happened without double checking, but now they want to double check and also do other due diligences which they failed to do previously. So there are more questions into the process itself and the structure that is leading the whole process, rather than what people should accept, because the occurrences of the premier was that people should accept the decision, whether it comes positive or negative. According to now, we know what we want, and it's not just a decision that is must just be pronounced, but it's also about the impact on the ground. When you look at Umchindi at the grave level than when it was as a first and a second cleanest province, cleanest town in the province, to what it is today, that you can't even recognize what is it. You see Umchindi, even those who are saying they are leading buildings in the KCBT, they are even vandalizing everything, creating the faces of Umchindi as if like it's something that is good. So this thing doesn't help us. There's no proper channels, even those news that you have pronounced. The community is not fully aware. There are no channels where, in like before, when municipality was there, they will used to hail around, they will used to call community. Now, the leaders that are leading, they are not even doing anything. It's just their personal information to fabricate this information. So it remains a concern to say we need an independent even body that will do the thorough communication to the community, because now our fear is that even this thing will go back to people killing each other, because when they talk about this thing, there are those who think of positions. remember the very people who sold Umchindi, even before when you said Umchindi shouldn't be taken to Mbombela, are the ones who are coming back now as champions. The former people who were there in the likes of mayors and all of those who've been sitting there, who said Umchindi must go. So now we must forgive them, must come back. So we cannot allow same people to be driving this process and allow a community not to participate. So these processes should be on stakeholder level rather than at a political kind of a level, because there should be consultation with the spiritual leaders, youth formations, women in business, and all of those. Those things are not followed. But the only sector that is being recognized, as we talk to the leaders, it's done. But when it comes to the other community leaders that are key, that are suffering, are having the direct impact with the high rates of crime, high rates of services, business is not consulted. We see politicians wearing a business cap the other day when they want to go and attend the meeting of MDBA. They become chairperson of certain rented business forums, which were even deregistered by the CIPC. So it's a mess. So this thing needs community members to take a stand. Unfortunately, even the channels of proper communications are not done. So we always react to things that we shouldn't be reacting, but be fully participants, be taken from number one to the last point. But now we're only told, now we're at this level. Who have a real control over this thing? Nobody knows. So it's just a matter of evoking emotions and saying we involved you, but at the end of the day, we are not really happy with the process, because it tells you that what the decision, we are not preempting, but it tells you that something is not being done correctly in terms of processes and procedures.
Ayanda, what do you make now of the timing of the process? Because largely of your submission seems to be poking at the timing of the consultation process, because one can't help but obviously preempt that next year it's going to be the 2026 local government elections. Do you think that this particular consultation process, it's just conveniently placed so that then we forge ahead into next year? Do you think then they will meet then also obviously the deadline of September?
Yeah, there is a possible date, which I doubt, that is around September, October, this decision could be out. But they always change these things. Not the first time, even last time the consultation was done, they had to change this and that. So the suspicion and pointers indicates to that direction, to say every time when it's towards the election and all of those things, there will be issues that are being withdrawn from the grave, to say this is what we are looking at. Me and you, that conversation was no longer, they've been quiet for quite a long time about this thing. There's not even some task teams that are put in place which are representing those sector. You only call people in one day to say come, and these people now, they are coming from different areas. Hence I'm saying the verification of saying what is Ayanda representing, young people, what is Musa representing, business people. There's no verification of such. They can convert any individual to become any representative of any structure, and in that way money is used for people to agree or disagree on certain things, because others, they're claiming they want it back, knowing very well that they have other plans. So it becomes an exercise where only one participant are being given that platform to play. So we're not saying the structure itself does not have credibility, but there's a lot of things that from the structural level and the approaches, we should be guided. Even themselves, they should be a part of the interviews where we'll be questioned about all of these things, because it becomes a concern to us. Because every time, when even before when Umchindi was taken, remember it was about 8 wards before, because the other wards were not were from belonging to other political parties. But in terms of the study, it was clear that the other wards are going to be lost. They had to divide those wards in between, rather than to make them as big as they are, but to divide them to become a number that is 5. That from the 8, which now they are making them bigger. So all of these things, they are more like a game of numbers, as politics is a game of numbers. Even that demarcation process is a game of numbers. It tells you that somewhere, somehow, there was a manipulation. So if that process was done correctly, why Why are we here today? And if demarcation is really putting an eye to ensure that they are preventing and they are also ensuring justice, because this thing did not have happened during apartheid time. It happened during our democracy time when all of us were here and were watching. If maybe they were talking about the demarcation of Barberton having a Lost Creek site under Nkomazi, which is a question that how come a police station that is in Nkomazi, in Barberton, belong to Nkomazi, yet the court itself that is in that area belongs to Umchindi, because they were looking to get the part of the mine that Nkomazi doesn't have a mine. And they will. So those are the things that they should be focusing in, things that happened long time ago, not these things that were happening now. So it's a question of saying, is really MDPA doing justice in terms of ensuring that there's no tamper with the current structures? And if there is, how do they make sure that that tamper is really done in a good way and in good faith?
Yeah, Ayanda, as always, my brother, really appreciate your diluted views when it comes to some of these pertinent issues and issues that really affect people on the ground. Really appreciate you making time to speak to us this evening.
Thank you, my brother.
Great conversations as always here on Rise FM in 60 minutes. Mpumalanga, that's where we have to leave it for this evening. Coming up next is Rise FM Evenings. Do take care and enjoy the conversations that follow. You're on Rise. Good night.
And that was Rise FM in 60 Minutes. Join Musa Skhosana every Monday to Thursday as he keeps you in touch with current affairs. Only on Rise FM.